bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
The Shadow Attorney General in the opposition, hoping to be the Attorney General after July 2nd. We are delighted to be joined by Mark Dreyfus. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to talk to you again.
We're referring to you as the Labor version of Michael Kroger. I hope you're not too offended by that.
I'll leave that to listeners to judge, but it's not a comparison I'd draw immediately.
Of course. Mark, let's have a look at this week. We've seen some polling, Ipsos and news polls out today, showing that there is, in a two-party preferred horse race, that you're about a half a nose ahead of the government at this point. Are you still all keeping the lid on it and responding like the underdog in this election?
This has been a very long campaign. We didn't choose to have the longest campaign since 1952. We have campaigned strongly because we come to the election with policies in every area that we've spent the last 3 years working on. And it's a very close contest.
I note with interest, and I'm not sure what sort of political mileage this is going to provide for you, but your call for the sacking of George Brandis, I want to talk a little bit about the role of the Solicitor General. You probably, as a QC, can provide a bit more clarity around what this means, but if I get it wrong, stop me and correct me. The Solicitor General is an independent member of the public service, the second highest ranked solicitor in the country behind the Attorney General. George Brandis, the Attorney General in the Turnbull government, has this week essentially said that all action to the Solicitor General has to go through his office or through him before it hits the Solicitor General, which means that if the Governor General has a question or indeed the Leader of the Opposition or the Prime Minister has a question that has some legal status, that they would have to go via George Brandis to get to the Solicitor General. Is that a reasonable summation?
That's right. It's an extraordinary attack by George Brandis, one that's a pattern of behaviour for him, of course. We saw the way in which he attacked Professor Gillian Triggs, the head of the Human Rights Commission, when he doesn't like advice that he gets or when he doesn't like people doing their jobs properly. He attacks them. And that's what we've got with the Solicitor General, who you correctly described as the second law officer. First law officer is the Attorney General. What George Brandis has done just before the election was called was to restrict the possibility of government agencies, government departments, getting advice from the independent Solicitor General. And it's an extraordinary step, but true to form for Brandis. What's particularly alarming is that from the reports in the Australian Financial Review yesterday and today, it seems that George Brandis lied to the Parliament as well, because in the formal document that was tabled in the Parliament just before the election was announced, George Brandis said that he had consulted with the Solicitor General. It now seems that that was untrue.
If he has misled the Parliament or misled the Australian people, is that then, does that question his integrity as a politician?
Well, there's already been many questions raised about his integrity in the 2.5 years that he's been Attorney General of the Commonwealth. I called yesterday on the basis of the reports that we read in the press yesterday for Malcolm Turnbull to insist on his resignation. I don't think that he's fit to be the Attorney General. And it's not just the restricting of access to the Solicitor General, because he apparently doesn't like the advice that he was getting. It's having misled the Parliament, lied to the Parliament about having consulted the Solicitor General.
I have a hypothetical question to put to you, and I think this goes to the very core of what George Brandis has perhaps attempted to do. If this election, we're already seeing that it's going to be very, very close, if there was a challenge to the result of the election prior to either the government or yourselves being announced or being able to form government, as the Attorney General, or whilst we're acting, I assume, while Parliament doesn't really exist at the minute, if there was a challenge to the result of the election prior to a party being announced as the new government or the re-elected government, would that mean that any questions would have to go via George Brandis, before going to the Solicitor General and therefore make that water really, really murky?
That example nails the problem. It would mean that the Governor General, who has had reason in the past to seek the advice of the Solicitor General, if a constitutional problem comes up, the Governor General would have to go cap in hand to George Brandis and say, can I please have permission to seek the advice of the Solicitor General? For us, that's just plain wrong. It's a complete breach with the way in which the Solicitor General's office has been managed and run for the 100 years that it's been in existence. And George Brandis should actually rescind this legal services direction that he's made. And when the Parliament resumes, which it will after the election at some point, we'll be certainly returning to this question, whether we're in opposition or in government.
We've seen, Mark, an example of where the chief, in Victoria, the Crown Solicitor. Gave some advice to the Country Fire Authority, which the government, the Victorian government, found a little bit inconvenient, let's say, and I don't expect you to comment on that, but this is about the independence of that office, whether it's the state office or the federal office, and, you know, the ability of that person to be able to give unbiased advice without fear of retribution. You should not and you must not have the Attorney General as the gatekeeper for that advice.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Checks and balances make for better government.
Yeah.
Independent advice makes for better government. And my own experience of being a Cabinet Minister, being Attorney General, is that the quality of government that our community receives is improved by having independent sources of advice available. It's going back to Gillian Triggs is a good example. We legislated many years ago to have a Human Rights Commission, and the statute tells the President of the Human Rights Commission that part of her job is to draw attention to human rights breaches. Brandis doesn't like that. I like it very much. I like it very much. I think it's a very good thing that we've got statutory officers who've got independence, who give advice without fear or favour to the government. If the government doesn't like the advice, it can perhaps seek alternative advice, but what it is then required to do is explain itself. And that's a big task of government, as far as I'm concerned.
Mark Dreyfus is the Shadow Attorney General. He's joining us this morning to have a look at the week that has been and the remaining. It's a very short couple of days ahead, isn't it? Is it 2 weeks or something that we've got remaining?
The end is in sight.
Yes.
If I sound relieved, I probably am.
Yes.
It's going to be a very intense 2 weeks of campaigning.
The light at the end of the tunnel is not, in fact, a train. So the Ipsos poll this morning has Labor ahead 51-49. News poll similarly. But I think the talk this week is that the marginals suggest there's only two or three wins there for you. Is there going to be quite a bit of time spent in those marginal electorates to try and get Labor over the line in those seats that it needs to take government?
Sure, and let's not be under any illusion. Labor are the underdogs in this contest. The Liberals have a 20-seat head start. We are fighting for every single vote between now and the 2nd of July at the close of polls on the 2nd of July. There will be some appalling negative advertisements with the Liberal Party that is millions of dollars ahead in fundraising to spend on that sort of campaigning.
Let's not talk about where they got it either.
But, yeah, well, certainly. Let's not talk about the paraphernalia. We'll leave that for the moment.
No, well, another interesting piece, Mark, from the Exclusive Brethren, which is an extremist Christian sect, has given secret coordinated donations to the Liberal Party to the tune of about $67,000. These were donations revealed in an ICAC, New South Wales ICAC report recently, and it's given that the Exclusive Brethren refuse to vote and refuse to be involved in democracy, it's surprising that they're providing.
Why get involved when you can influence it?
Well, I suppose.
It is very surprising, and one would have to ask what they think they are getting if they're not voting and not participating in the election. What are they getting by delivering money to the Liberal Party? But to be more positive, Labor goes to this election with a lot of positive policies, policies in every area. And when I'm out in the street, when I'm talking to people at street stalls, everywhere I go, I'm very happy to have the discussion about policy, and so are very many people. Our phone calling is about policy, and my large bank of volunteers who are making phone calls in my electorate tell me that people are responding well to those positive policies.
Mark, one last question from me before we wrap up. There is a bit of chatter about this week, I suppose, after Bill Shorten's appearance on Q&A on Monday night, where he went a little off-piste and was able to speak off-script, where there was a great deal of response saying how positive, a very positive response about his performance when he was allowed to speak freely rather than almost from a script. Have you had the same response this week?
I have. It's always heartening when people stop you in the street and say, Bill Shorten did a great job on Q&A, but I've had that a fair bit. I know it's anecdotal, but it's certainly cheering. I watched too. I thought he did a terrific job. And it's good when you can speak your mind. Bill's been speaking his mind and people are responding to it.
I've got a quick question for you, Mark. Let's assume, and I know you don't want to, but the government gets back. They have to have a joint sitting for the double dissolution bills, but the total numbers of the Senate and the House of Reps don't give them a majority. What happens then?
The legislation's lost.
It fails. Okay.
The last time we had a double dissolution election in Australia, which was 1987, the Hawke government was successful but did not, in fact, bring back the bill that had been the trigger.
Right.
So there's no obligation on the government even to
do
back the bill. And you might well think that a re-elected Turnbull government, and I very sincerely hope that that is not going to be the case after the 2nd of July, you'll never see that legislation again. And from the way they've campaigned, they seem to have pretty much forgotten about the trigger.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Mark Dreyfus, sorry, we've run out of time. Thank you for your time. We might even give you a quick buzz on election night. I know you're going to be busy, but we're doing 3 hours on election night, so we might give you a buzz then.
You'd be very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.